Our text this morning is Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 to 20. Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 to 20. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' And he called the people to him and said to them, 'Hear and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person.' Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' He answered, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone, they are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit.' But Peter said to him, 'Explain the parable to us.' And he said, 'Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." Now, just as in the previous chapter, Matthew chapter 14, we see here in chapter 15 that the Lord Jesus is in conflict with his enemies. We see that in Matthew chapter 15 verses 1 to 11. He is in conflict with his enemies. Then we find him teaching his own disciples in Matthew 15 verses 12 to 20. He teaches his own disciples, Matthew 15 verses 12 to 20. And then we see him ministering to the needy multitudes in Matthew chapter 15 verses 21 to 39. We find the same pattern during this period of withdrawal, which we mentioned earlier, which we've been seeing from Matthew chapter 14 onwards, and that will continue right up to chapter 20. The period of withdrawal, when Jesus withdraws to be with his disciples. Now, the great concerns of Christ are truth and love. These are the two great concerns of the Lord Jesus Christ, truth and love. And he taught the Jewish leaders the truth, and he exposed their hypocrisy. And he showed the Gentile crowds love and compassion as he met their needs. Now, by studying these two concerns of truth and love, we can understand the message here in Matthew chapter 15. We see truth manifested when Jesus rejects Jewish tradition. Jesus rejects Jewish tradition, Matthew 15 verses 1 to 20. And then we see love and compassion demonstrated when he casts out demons and heals the sick, responding to the needs of the Gentiles. Love and compassion. He responds to Gentile needs in Matthew chapter 15 verses 21 to 39. So we see truth and love in this chapter, Matthew chapter 15. Now first we look at truth. He rejects Jewish tradition. Matthew chapter 15 verses 1 to 20. Now this dramatic event involves three questions and three replies. We see these questions and replies at work in the scribes and Pharisees who come to him, and also the disciples and also Peter. We see these questions and replies that work out with both the scribes and Pharisees, then the disciples and also Peter. The scribes and Pharisees we find in Matthew 15 verses 1 to 11, and then the disciples, their questions, and he replies in Matthew 15 verses 12 to 14, and then Peter questions and he replies in Matthew 15 verses 15 to 20. First, the scribes and the Pharisees, they question Jesus in verses 1 to 11. Matthew 15 verses 1 to 11. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' And he called the people to him and said to them, 'Hear and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person.'" Now the fact that the scribes and the Pharisees united in this attack and they came all the way from Jerusalem to speak to Jesus, that indicates the seriousness of their purpose. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem, Matthew 15 verse 1. It is likely that this committee that came from Jerusalem represented the leaders of the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem, the rulers of the Jews, the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders of the Jews. Their accusation about washing hands had nothing to do with cleanliness. They were referring to the ceremonial washings of the rigidly orthodox Jews. Matthew chapter 15 verse 2. I read to you from the New Living Translation. Matthew 15 verse 2. "Why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition? For they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand washing before they eat." I read to you Mark's account in Mark chapter 7 verses 1 to 4. "Now when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches." For the scribes and Pharisees, it was evil enough that Jesus and his disciples socialized with outcasts, because Jesus and his disciples mingled with tax collectors and sinners. But what was appalling to the scribes and Pharisees was that Jesus and his disciples did not even seek to be purified. They ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand washing before they eat. That was their accusation. Matthew chapter 15 verse 2. That to the scribes and Pharisees was just too much. Totally unacceptable. Of course, in making this accusation, these religious leaders were forcing Jesus to deal with the very foundation of their religious faith. If Jesus rejected the sacred traditions of the nation, then according to them, he was a heretic. Now, the question is, where did these traditions come from? They were actually handed down from the teachers of previous generations. And these washings had nothing to do with personal hygiene. Neither were these washings commanded in the law. It had nothing to do with the ceremonial law of God. These washings were a part of the tradition that the scribes and Pharisees had given to the people to add to their burdens. Matthew chapter 23 verse 4. "They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger." The rabbis claimed that these traditions were originally an oral law which Moses gave to the elders, and they passed it down to the nation. And this oral law was finally written down and became what is known as the Mishnah. The Mishnah. Now, unfortunately, the Mishnah became more important and more authoritative than the original law of Moses. Our Lord Jesus had already violated their Sabbath traditions, so the Jews were eager to accuse him when they saw the disciples eat with defiled hands. They saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, Mark chapter 7 verse 2. Now, why would such a seemingly trivial matter upset these religious leaders? Why would they feel compelled to defend their own made-up ceremonial washings? One thing is very clear, these leaders resented it when Jesus openly flaunted their authority. After all, they believed that these practices had been handed down from the fathers and carried with them the authority of the ages. The Jews called tradition the fence of the law. That's what they called tradition. They called tradition the fence of the law. It was not the law that protected the tradition, but the tradition that protected the law. This was their sad predicament. But something more, something much more important was involved here. Whenever the Jews practiced these washings, they declared that they were special and all other people were unclean. So if a Jew went to the marketplace to buy food, he might be defiled by a Gentile, God forbid, even a Samaritan. It was a horrible attitude that they had now imbibed into their culture. These washings not only indicated a wrong attitude toward people, but they also conveyed a wrong idea of the nature of sin and personal holiness. Jesus therefore rejects this totally. Jesus had made it clear in the Sermon on the Mount that true holiness is a matter of inward affection and attitude and not just outward actions and associations. But these pious Pharisees thought that they were holy because they avoided external defilement. Jesus taught that external defilement has little connection with the condition of the inner person. So the conflict was not only between God's truth and man's tradition, but also between two divergent views of sin and holiness, which were diametrically opposite to each other. This confrontation got to the very heart of true religious faith. Now, we all know that human nature is prone to hold on to worn out man-made traditions, and tradition often ignores and disobeys the living word of God. It is true that some traditions are helpful. They are reminders of our rich heritage, or they are a cement which binds generations. But we must constantly beware. Otherwise, tradition will take the place of truth. And this can happen and has happened with churches, with church traditions also. Therefore, we must be extremely careful. It is always good to examine church traditions in the light of God's word and to be courageous enough to make changes. In defending their tradition, the Pharisees actually eroded their own characters and also the character of the word of God. They were hypocrites, play actors, whose religious worship was practiced in vain. True worship must come from the heart, and it must be directed by God's truth, God's word, not personal ideas. It is a tragedy when religious people ignorantly practice their religion and become the worse for doing it. But these scribes and Pharisees were not only destroying their character, they were also destroying the influence and authority of the very word of God that they claimed to be defending. Now, in Mark's gospel, when you read Mark's gospel, you see a tragic sequence there in Mark's gospel in Mark chapter 7. First, we see that these scribes and Pharisees taught that their man-made commandments, they taught their man-made commandments as doctrines, as God's word. Mark chapter 7 verse 7. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Number two, They put aside God's word. Mark chapter 7 verse 8. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. Number 3. They rejected God's word. Mark chapter 7 verse 9. And he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. Number 4. They robbed themselves of the power of God's word by replacing God's word with tradition. Mark chapter 7 verse 13. Thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and many such things you do. People who rever man-made traditions about the word of God eventually will lose the power of God's word in their lives. No matter how devout they may appear, their hearts are far from God. Now history reveals that the Jewish religious leaders came to honor their traditions far above the word of God. A well-known Jewish rabbi, Rabbi Eliezer, he said, he who expounds the scriptures in opposition to the tradition has no share in the world to come. How terrible. This is a Jewish rabbi, a famous rabbi speaking. It's sad, but that's what happens when people cater to tradition rather than to God's word. The Mishnah, which is a collection of Jewish traditions in the Talmud, it records, it is a greater offense to teach anything contrary to the voice of the rabbis than to contradict scripture. How pathetic. This is a quotation from the Mishnah. But before we criticize our Jewish friends, we too could be guilty of replacing God's truth with man-made traditions. So let's beware of this. Now, once he had exposed their hypocrisy, Jesus then turned to the law of Moses and indicted these scribes and Pharisees for breaking the fifth commandment. Mark chapter 7 verse 10. Mark 7 verse 10, Jesus says, for Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. Now, if you would read this from the New Living Translation, it's amazing. The New Living Translation brings out the seriousness of this command. Mark chapter 7 verse 10. I read to you from the New Living Translation. For instance, Moses gave you this law from God. Honor your father and mother. And anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. I repeat that. Anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. So according to God's holy law, I should have been put to death as a teenager who had rebelled against my parents. I don't deserve to be alive. Serious. There go I to the gallows. If it was not for the grace and mercy of God, according to the book of Deuteronomy, I should have been stoned to death. Exodus chapter 21 verse 17. Exodus 21 verse 17, again reading to you from the New Living Translation. Anyone who dishonors father or mother must be put to death. And the Greek version of that verse reads like this. Anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. Exodus chapter 21 verse 17. I don't know about you, but as far as I'm concerned, I should have been dead long ago. This is exactly what our Lord Jesus repeats in Matthew chapter 15 verse 4. And I read to you now from the New Living Translation, Matthew 15 verse 4. For instance, God says, honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. Period. Full stop. This is God's holy law. Now, these scribes and Pharisees had an ingenious way of breaking the law and not feeling guilty. Instead of using their wealth to support their parents, the Pharisees dedicated that wealth to God. And the word that was used was korban. Korban. Mark chapter 7 verse 11. But you say, if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is given to God. Korban means an offering, a gift. They claimed that the wealth could now be used only for spiritual purposes. But they actually continued to get the benefit of that wealth as scribes and Pharisees, even though it technically belonged to God. These men claimed to love God, but they had no love for their parents. Look at our Lord's reply. Our Lord's reply to their charge began with an accusation. Matthew chapter 15 verse 3. Matthew chapter 15 verse 3. He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition?" It was they who were breaking God's law by practicing their traditions, not Jesus. Then Jesus proceeded to give the Qurban illustration. Matthew chapter 15 verses 4 to 6. "For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God." So if a Jew wanted to escape some financial responsibilities, what he would do is he would declare his goods to be Qurban, a gift to God. This meant he was free from other obligations, such as caring for his parents. But in doing so, the person was losing the power of God's word in his life and thus hurting his own character and missing God's blessing. Jesus concluded his reply with an application. Matthew 15 verses 7 to 11. "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' And he called the people to him and said to them, 'Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person.'" Jesus was quoting the Old Testament scripture from Isaiah, which they were familiar with. Isaiah chapter 29 verse 13. Isaiah 29 verse 13. "And the Lord said, 'Because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men.'" You see their problem. They knew God's word. They were familiar with scriptures. And this can happen to us. And especially when you grow up in a Bible-believing church, you are so well-versed with the scriptures right from childhood. But that can be a danger because it can just be an intellectual exercise. So Jesus is getting them back to the scripture and telling them, "You draw near with your mouth and honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me." And he says, "Their fear of me is a commandment taught by men." You see, they had already replaced the word of God with their traditions of commandments taught by men. They were guilty of this even way back then in the time of the prophets. Quoting Isaiah 29 verse 13, Jesus made it clear that obedience to tradition made a person disobedient to the word of God. And this proved the tradition to be false. Exodus chapter 20 verse 12. "Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Exodus 20 verse 12 taught a man to honor father and mother. But the Qurban rule would make a person dishonor his parents and at the same time disobey God's holy word. Tradition is something external, while God's truth is internal. God's truth is internal in the heart. People obey tradition to please men and gain status. The Apostle Paul tells us that this was how he was as a Pharisee, caught by tradition. Galatians chapter 1 verse 14. "And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers." You and I are called to obey the word of God to please God. Tradition deals with ritual, but God's truth deals with reality. Tradition brings empty words to the lips, but truth penetrates the heart and changes the life. Only God's word, which is truth, which is living, which is the two-edged sword, only God's word can penetrate the heart and change the life. not tradition. Actually, tradition robs a person of the power of the Word of God. Unfortunately, there are many evangelical traditions in churches today, man-made teachings that are often considered as authoritative as the Word of God, even though they contradict God's Word. And by obeying these traditions, Christians rob themselves of the power of God's Word. God wants us to give Him our hearts and not just our lip service. We believe God's Word in our heart, from our hearts. Romans chapter 10 verses 8 to 10. But what does it say? The Word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Number two, we love from the heart. We believe God's Word in our heart. We believe God's Word from our hearts. We love from the heart. Matthew chapter 22 verse 37. And He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Number three, we sing from the heart. Colossians chapter 3 verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We obey from the heart. Romans chapter 6 verse 17. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 6. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Number five, we give from the heart. We give from the heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So no wonder David prayed that prayer, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Psalm 51 verse 10. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." David knew that God desires truth in our inmost being. God desires truth in our inner being, in our hearts. Psalm 51 verse 6. "Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart." God's word alone can change the heart. God's word alone can penetrate deep down on the inside. Psalm 51 verse 6. "Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart." Jesus declared boldly to the multitudes that sin comes from the heart and not from the diet. Sin comes from the heart, not from the diet. It is what comes out of the mouth that defiles us, not what goes in. Matthew chapter 15 verse 10 and 11. "And he called the people to him and said to them, 'Hear and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person.'" Then we find the disciples. They come and they question Jesus, and Jesus replies. The disciples in Matthew chapter 15 verses 12 to 14. "Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' He answered, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit.'" The disciples were astonished by what Jesus taught about foods. After all, they had been raised good Jews. They were raised up as good Jews. Remember Peter's words in Acts chapter 10 verses 9 to 16. I read to you Acts chapter 10 verses 9 to 16. "The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens open and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. The disciples knew the difference between the clean and unclean foods. The whole of Leviticus chapter 11 taught this. But the disciples had another concern. This teaching of Jesus had offended the Pharisees, and it was certain to create serious problems. So they questioned Jesus about this. Matthew 15 verse 12. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" But Jesus was not worried about the Pharisees. Neither they nor their teachings had been planted by God, and therefore it's not going to last. Yes, there are still isolated groups that seek to maintain these traditions. But for the most part, Phariseeism is gone. Phariseeism is gone. However, the spirit of Phariseeism, which is all about tradition, legalism, hypocrisy, externals, that sadly is still with us. And this is what Jesus called the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Matthew chapter 16 verse 6. Matthew 16 verse 6. Jesus said to them, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And this is something that we need to beware of and keep away from. Don't get caught up in any tradition. Jesus is very clear here. Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Jesus also pointed out that the Pharisees were blind and could only lead their converts into the ditch. In Matthew chapter 23 verse 16, he called them blind guides. That's quite a graphic description. Matthew chapter 23 verse 16. "Woe to you blind guides who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. Why be afraid of rootless plants that are dying, or blind guides who cannot see where they are going?" So that's the response that Jesus gave to the question of the disciples. Then Peter comes, and Peter has his question, and Jesus answers Peter. Matthew chapter 15 verses 15 to 20. But Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." And he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." Peter was not content until he had an explanation of the saying about foods. And patiently our Lord Jesus explained the lesson again. The meaning seems obvious to us, but it was astonishingly new to Orthodox Jews. Whatever enters the mouth eventually goes into the stomach and comes out in human waste. Food never touches the heart, but what comes out of the mouth begins in the heart, and these things defile a person. That's what Jesus is trying to explain to them. Matthew chapter 15 verses 19 to 20. "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." Of course, actions are included with words, and often actions speak louder than words. The Lord had to repeat this lesson on foods to Peter. We read in Acts chapter 10, a few years later, when Peter was going to be called to preach to the Gentiles, the Lord had to explain this to Peter. The Apostle Paul repeats this lesson in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verses 3 to 6. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verses 3 to 6. "Who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. The Apostle Paul also dealt with this in detail in chapters 14 and chapter 15 of the book of Romans. Now, before we close, let's ask ourselves a serious question. Let's ask ourselves a serious question. Is my life governed by truth, by God's word, or by man-made tradition? Is religiosity what governs my life, or is God's word what governs my life? Is my knowledge of God's word just an intellectual exercise, or am I asking God to imprint his word on my mind and my heart to transform my life? And that should be our desire. And that is what true worship is all about. Communing with God in spirit, in truth. Allowing God's word to penetrate deep into our hearts and change us from the inside, so we become true worshipers, being conformed more and more to the image of Christ. Let us pray.